I was going to apologize to the people who may be watching from home. Are they on?
No,
they're not on. Okay, good. Because years ago, the chains were broken and the shackles were taken off. So I have a tendency to wander. So I was going to apologize that I'd be out of their view a little bit, but I...
In that white box.
Okay. So, I've been thinking of my friend Ken Richardson from Canada. He's out of Quebec, Canada. And whenever he came to church and he felt like God was moving, he would come in and he would dance down the aisles. And he'd say, "The Lord has set my feet a-dancing." And when Terry asked me about if I would share, it's like I said, "Yeah, okay, I'll share. I'd love to share." Because the Lord has been working this message in my heart for a while. And so the Lord has set my feet a-dancing. I'm excited. I'm excited to be up here. I'm nervous. I shake. But that's okay. Because God is here. So my feet have been set a-dancing. There's excitement going on here at FBC. Does anybody else recognize it? No? Nobody? God's moving here, folks. He really is. And I'm excited to see what he's doing. Turn with me to Psalm 100, if you would. So Psalm 100 says this: "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." So just in case you thought that my message was going to be out of Psalm 100, it's part of it. It's not the message. So we're going to come back to this psalm in a little bit. But in the meantime, I would encourage you to do as Mary did in Luke chapter 2, verse 19. Ponder all these words in your heart as we go through this today. So let me introduce myself a little bit, give you guys some background on who I am. Some of you know me, some of you don't. So on November 11th, 1952, my parents received a gift from God. A beautiful baby boy. Me. Now I know I was the most beautiful boy there. Because my mom kept whispering it in my ear. "You're the most beautiful boy in the nursery," she used to say. And I was excited. But then I had my first setback with self-esteem. Because after we'd go see my mom in her room, and then the nurse would come and wheel me back to the nursery. And so subconsciously back then, I was just looking around. I was the only baby in there. So I got to be the most beautiful baby in the nursery. Anyways, so that started my journey here on earth. 1952, I started walking this earth, and for 28 years, I wandered as a citizen of the United States trying to figure it all out. What is this all about? What's life all about? But the cool part was, when I turned 16, I knew it all. I knew everything. Some people would try to share things with me. "No, you don't have to share anything with me. I got this. I know what I'm doing." So from 16 to 22, I'm just out there having a good time, what I thought was a good time. So I drifted along, and I just kind of knew there had to be a God, because some of the things I got into weren't cool. And so I knew someone had to be watching over me. So when I turned 23, guess what I found out? I knew nothing. I knew nothing about life. All this stuff that I thought I knew from 16 to 22, it was gone. It had to be gone. So I'd been hearing tidbits about Jesus. My wife had been ministering to me. We'd gone to various churches. I'd heard tidbits about Jesus. Now I knew there was a God, but I didn't know Jesus. And so some 42 years ago, I said, "Yes, Lord, yes, 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 Lord. I receive you as my Lord and Savior." Praise God. And Jesus started changing my life, and I started to hear and read some awesome words in scriptures. I saw in Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship is in heaven. Hallelujah, what a Savior, huh? So, came to realize that when I received Jesus as my Savior, I entered into that citizenship in heaven and gave up my citizenship here on earth. So Daniel Carter asks, why would I give up my citizenship on earth? Why would I? Thanks for asking that, though. I'm glad he asked. So turn to 1 Peter 2:9. And we'll see why I'm here out of this scripture. So he says in 1 Peter 2:9, he says, but you are a chosen generation. That's awesome. You know, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a chosen generation. The cool part about it that I thought was cool was I wasn't the last one chosen. God's choosing many more out there to enter into his kingdom. The next part is why I'm here. I'm part of a royal priesthood. When I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I got that privilege to proclaim the praises of him who called me out of those 28 years of darkness and brought me into his marvelous light. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're part of that royal priesthood. You have that right to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Holy nation, part of the family of God. I'm not an only child. There's thousands, hopefully millions, of people out there that have received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Tons of brothers and sisters. I can go to a church, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church, talking about Jesus Christ. I can walk into that church, and I got brothers and sisters hanging out. I like it. I like it. I wouldn't want to have them to buy them Christmas presents, but I do like the fact that they're my brothers and sisters. And this one, Diane really likes. He goes on to say that I am his own special person. Some Bibles say peculiar person. I kind of like that peculiar title. I think Diane likes it too because she calls me that all the time. So all this that Peter talks about here in 1 Peter 2:9, if I have all this, why wouldn't I want to have that citizenship in heaven? So if you have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, look at what you're missing. You're missing out on this. You're missing out on the excitement to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So I would encourage you to receive him today. But you guys are so blessed here because look at this. I got the dual purpose green card. My citizenship is in heaven. I'm only here for a little while. I'm a sojourner on earth. This part of the card will expire when Jesus calls me home. This part never expires. I think it's awesome. It is awesome. So, I mean, quick background on my sojourner background. I'm blessed to say I'm married to my wife, my Proverbs 31 wife, Diane. It'll be 50 years on October 28th. Praise God. He is really, that's another whole sermon. We have 3 biological children, 3 adopted children, 12 grandchildren, 3 great-grandchildren. So as you can see, we've been obedient. We went forth and multiplied. Been blessed. So I'm taking on this little short mission trip here now. We had missions a couple weeks ago, but I can't resist. And you'll understand why. So in Acts 1, verse 8, Jesus tells us, we shall be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the end of the earth. Universal Skilled Home here in Fuquay is our Jerusalem mission. I'm blessed to be a part of a devoted team that ministers to God's precious people at this elderly home. I've been in this ministry for 20-something years. It's a wonderful, wonderful ministry. The team here consists of Don and B. Crane is part of it, Tommy White's part of it, Elsie Moore is part of it. My wife Diane and I, we finish out the team. The residents in these homes can spend hour upon hour upon hour alone in their room. How important is prayer in their lives? It's very important, folks. They need to be made aware of or reminded of that they have access, or they can have access to someone who can protect them from the fiery darts of the adversary. Jesus is always on the line. He will protect them from loneliness, depression, unworthiness, fear, insecurity, and doubt. In John 11, verses 25 through 27, it says this. We share this with them. It says, Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And Martha said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into this world. They just need to know that Jesus is still there. Some of them know him. Some of them forgot they know him. We just have to remind them. We have to encourage them that Jesus is always on the line. And those of us who minister there, hopefully we all stand on Zechariah 4:6. Because it's not by might nor by power. It's by his spirit, says the Lord. His spirit, and I could get on another whole sermon here. I got to stop. Because I've been involved in it long enough that I've seen the Spirit of God move in these people's hearts and in their lives. It's amazing. You think they're dozing off out there. You think they're drugged up. But you know what? The Spirit of God is much stronger than anything that they can take. All right. So now that I got my mission plug in, we're going to meander into... Oh, it's not there. There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. It's a worldly song from the 60s. I don't know how many people know it. Some people know it. Tom knows it. I think Tommy White knew it also. But the two lines spoke volumes to me as I was studying for this message. There is something happening here, and what it is ain't exactly clear. But I believe with the help of the Lord, we are going to find out what's happening here. And he is going to make it clear. Praise God. There have been five, including today, gatherings of God's people here at FBC teaching and preaching over the last few weeks. Not very long. But I think, as far as I know, I don't think there was any interaction between us on what we were going to share on. I'm giving you this insight because sometimes we don't recognize when God is moving, do we? Sometimes we just don't see it because we're so busy with our lives. We're so busy with what's going on. Anyways, there's been five teachings, including myself. We haven't shared much about it. Pastor Terry spoke, ladies' ministry. Jimmy Costello spoke at the men's group. John McClamrock spoke last week about communion. And then myself. We had little or no discussion. I share this because there's something happening here, and the Lord is working on getting our attention. So let's recap the four teachings. Pastor Terry talks about the Holy Spirit, has been talking about the Holy Spirit, vital to our lives. Debbie, McClamrock, Karen, and Murray spoke at the ladies' ministry on unified prayer. I thought that was great. They didn't recognize me. I was the guy in the blue dress in the back. But I did find that out. And then Jimmy. Jimmy gave a teaching on at the men's breakfast, seeking the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Through prayer, draw me closer to thee. And then we should be holy and without blame before him. That's a key one. We should be holy and without blame before him. Communion Sunday, John spoke last week, quietness and reflection. Those are some good words, quietness and reflection, personal time. Clean hearts, clear mind as we come into his presence. And Terry stated a few weeks ago, sometimes our view of God is so small. It is. Sometimes I'm as guilty as anybody else in this room. Sometimes my view of God is too small. And why that happens, I'm not sure. But do you see a pattern gathering here between the first three or four teachings? And then we'll continue on with today's teaching. But Terry's getting involved. He's feeling called by God to get involved in the mission field. He's not leaving us here at FBC, but he is going to be called to go out into the mission field. We should be praying for him. We should be lifting him up. We should be praying for men that we're asking God to raise up to be elders in this church. We should be praying that they're praying to the Lord if they should be an elder in this church. It's a very big commitment, and we need to bathe everything in prayer. Personal involvement. Maybe you should be praying about how do I get involved with the Lord's work here at FBC. What can I do, Lord? It's time, folks, for the old men to dream dreams. It's time for the younger men to step up and see visions for FBC. They believe, oh, how we need his wisdom and his knowledge and his understanding and his grace to lead us through these exciting times here at FBC. So, let's take a walk through the word prayer. We're going to walk through it letter by letter, and we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to our hearts. Is this on? Okay, so let's look at the letter P. Power, the power of God. We just sang about it. Terry just spoke about it. There can be no greater power. We need God's power to work in our lives every day, every hour. One of my favorite songs is I Need Thee Every Hour. In joy or in pain, I need him every hour. And I'll be sharing in a little while that I need him every hour. Hopefully you need him. We all need him every hour. The first 27 verses of the Bible speak of God's creative power. So I'm just going to go through some verses here real quick. You don't have to look them up. We're going to go through some verses. In Exodus 14, the power of God parts the Red Sea. In 1 Kings 17, 21 through 23, God's power restores the life of the widow's son. In Daniel 6, 22, the Lord shuts the mouths of lions. In Job 42, 10, God restores Job's fortunes twofold. In Matthew 14, 19, God's power provided for 5,000 people from one boy's lunch. Incredible power. I can't do that. I'm a chef by trade. I can't do that. James 5, 17, God's power withheld the rain for 3 years and 6 months. So throughout Scripture, we can read how the power of God will bring forth healings, blessings, and salvation. His power is great enough to stay the winds, to stop the floods, but gentle enough to touch a child. We serve an awesome God. Why do we sometimes doubt or question if he has the power? Released, the letter R. I believe the power of God is released through prayer when we enter into his throne room of grace with praise, thanksgiving, honesty, transparency, trust, and request. Interesting where request ended up. Dead last. Acts 12, 5 through 10, constant and earnest prayer by the church was offered up for Peter. He was in prison at the time. They offered up constant and earnest prayer for Peter. In verse 7 through 10, you're probably familiar with, the power of God is released as the chains fell off. And Peter goes free from prison. Acts 16, 16 through 18, Paul and Silas were heading to a place of prayer. They met a slave girl with a spirit of divination. Paul said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out. God's power is released. That spirit came out that very hour. Acts 16, 25 and 26, Paul and Silas in prison praying and singing hymns. The power is released, the great earthquake happens, the foundations are shaken, the doors open, everyone is free. Again, numerous scriptures that tell us about God's power released. I would encourage you to dig into the Word, find the scriptures, read and reread. They're very faith-encouraging. In prayer, we acknowledge our need and our dependence on Him. It is the basis of our communicating with God. And it has been said, prayer changes things, but most of all, prayer changes us. Amen? At, small word. Cool little word. But let me ask you this. What do you think the following words pertain to? news, games, gossip, tweets, posts, stock market, sports scores, cell phone? Are these tools of the enemy, you think? Or are these personal choices that we make that keep us from spending that personal time with the Lord? I'm going to let you guys decide. But prayer certainly requires commitment. Boy, he has been working on my heart in this. It's 42 years I've been walking with the Lord. But I'll be sharing with you shortly. God has been working on my heart in this area. In a devotional, I read this statement. Jesus says, your mind will wander from me. The question is, how far will you allow it to wander? Jesus says, your mind will wander from me. The question is, how far will you allow it to wander? All these things up here, if it's a personal choice or if you believe it's an attack from the adversary, that causes our minds to wander, doesn't it? That will pull us out of that personal time with the Lord. It's happened to me. All of a sudden, the phone rings. I answer it. I spend a half hour on the phone with somebody. I'm out of that personal time with the Lord. And I'm not in a good spot where I should be. The word at here is used as a point of reference. As we all should know, wisdom, strength, and knowledge for life needs to be given to us from above. Like I was when I was 16, I thought I knew it all. It's not true. Matthew 7:7, we have an invitation to come to the at points, asking, seeking, and knocking. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, joy, and peace we desire to have in our lives will come to us when we earnestly and persistently pray. These next two letters are good ones. The letter Y, your. It implies your personal involvement, my personal involvement. So you think, oh, now, wait, I need to be actively involved in prayer? You certainly do. If you want to know what the Lord wants to do in your life, you need to be in personal prayer with him. You need to be still and know that he is God. And you need to be still and listen to that small, still voice. Whenever I run across someone that says, wow, the Lord never speaks to me, I always say, the question is, are you listening? That's when that quiet personal time takes place, folks. I'm all for, I don't know, I'll say corporate prayer because I can't think of anything else. But I'm all for group prayer. Nothing wrong with that. We can lift each other up to the Lord. We can pray for each other's needs. But I believe personal prayer is where it's at. If you want to hear from the Lord, you want to spend time asking the Lord to let you know what you can do here at FBC or pray about the FBC needs, we need to spend time with the Lord. Yeah, but for the longest time, this was me. I thought my pastor or my teacher or my brother or my sister in the Lord could cover that. I could go to church. Yeah, pray for me, will you? Pray for me. But I didn't pray. I'd wait for Terry to pray or Vince or Tom, whoever it may be. I felt like I couldn't pray. I didn't think I had the words to pray. Because I would hear these people pray and it would just flow and these words would flow. I go, man, I could never do that. But I'm going to ask Terry to pray for me. You know, and then I don't pray. I didn't for years in my early Christian walk. That's where I spent my time. But then the Lord convinced me that I should be praying. Because in Jesus, where Jesus shares with us in Matthew 6:6, but you, individually, you, when you pray, go into your room, shut your door, and pray to your Father. That was one of the verses that moved my heart into prayer. Matthew 26:36, Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. Personal time with the Father by himself. He didn't say, hey, come with me and pray. He didn't say, hey, will you pray for me here? He said, no, wait, I got to go over here. I need some personal time with the Father. Personal involvement comes when we move our minds and our hearts into a position of prayer. The more we are in God's Word, the more we will want to be before His throne room of grace. In his book, Praying Through the Bible, Donald Whitney wrote this. He said, the method of a lot of Christians when praying is to say the same old things about the same old things. Sometimes we just get stuck, don't we? Sometimes it's like, come on, Holy Spirit, move me out of here. The method of a lot of Christians when praying is to say the same old things about the same old things. Sad, sad, sad. Change our hearts, O God. Donald Whitney goes on to say, after 40 years in the ministry, I am convinced that this challenge is universal. And he also says the solution to this challenge is to learning to pray using Scripture. It's an awesome way to go. Get into God's Word. God will lead you on how we need to pray and what we need to pray. As I was preparing this message, the Lord ministered to me, and he brought me to these next few scriptures and challenged me as a parent, as a grandparent. I'll skip the last one. Great-grandparent. Makes me old. But he did. He challenged me. And he brought me to this. How about if I were to pray through 1 Corinthians 13 for my children, for my grandchildren, for my great-grandchildren, and request the Lord to develop these children with the kind of love taught in this chapter? It'd be a great prayer, wouldn't it? Guilty. I didn't do this when my kids were growing up, but the Lord's laid it upon my heart to do it. I can throw them in there now. My oldest son's going to be 50. Never too late. He's still my son. Psalm 1 guides me to pray, requesting the children would become mediators of God, of God's word, I'm sorry. And then Galatians 5, 22 and 23. I can pray, requesting the Lord would develop the fruit of the Spirit in these children's hearts. What a great prayer. That we can pray over our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, those words, and we can ask the Lord to instill these in their hearts. The Lord led me to pray. I've been praying the prayer in Daniel, chapter 9, verses 3 through 19, every day for my nation for a long time. I think maybe ever since Russia invaded Ukraine. It's a great prayer. I don't know how many of you guys have read it or how many guys have seen it, but read it and insert America in there. Because what Daniel's talking about in that prayer, we are very guilty of here in America. So that's been my personal prayer, and the Lord has led me to pray for my children and my grandchildren that way. Letter E, effective. This is the one that hurt me the most. As we were preparing this message, this is the part that stung the most, conviction. The Lord had provided and supplied for our house to be restored to the beauty it is today. We praised him. We thanked him. We gave glory to his name. He's done an awesome job. Hopefully someday you guys can see what he's done. But I believe it was like 4 months ago that I let my guard down. I was so excited that God had done the work he did. I was blessed. I had all this. But then I started walking out from that umbrella. I let my guard down. I entered into a spiritual attack of the adversary. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us that the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I let my focus on my individual prayer time go. I was, instead of praying, I was, Lord, I need this. Lord, could you do this? So remember the quote from earlier, your mind will wander from me. The question is, how far will we allow it to wander? I had wandered for a while. After my personal prayer time, and God, I hope this never happens to any of you. But after my personal prayer time, I felt empty. I felt like I had lost a friend. I felt scared. I seemed alone, I seem confused. Oh, Lord, where art thou? I'd go up into, I study upstairs at my house. I would go up there, and I would read a portion of Scripture, and I would pray. But then I'd go back downstairs. I'd go about my day. I didn't remember what I read. And it took a while. I mean, I wandered for a little bit. So it took a little bit of time. And then, you know, I was just kept saying, Lord, where art thou? Why do I feel like this? I knew it wasn't right. I knew in my spirit that it wasn't right. I wasn't in tune with the Lord. But the Lord reminded me that for my prayers to be effective again, I needed to have that steadfast spirit within me. When I came before his throne room of grace, I needed to check my heart and I needed to clear my mind. 1 John 1:8 tells us, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Even though we're saved and Jesus Christ has taken away our sins and God has cast them into the deepest part of the sea, he took away our sins. The Lord reminded me that I need to be cleansed from sin. And I needed to have that clear mind of distractions and to enter into his presence with reverence. After all, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this, you know, as I talked about earlier, none of us had talked about what we were going to preach on. But this verse I heard Terry use a couple weeks ago was the verse that God brought me to. And I cried out Psalm 51:10 to him. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Steadfast spirit, firmly fixed in place, firm in belief and determination. Praise the Lord for his mercy and grace. One of the definitions defines effective as a soldier equipped for duty. And do we get ourselves equipped for our personal prayer time with the Lord? Do we have on the full armor of God that we find in Ephesians 6, 10 through 17? It's so important. God has shown it to me anyways. I hope he's shown it to you today, how important it is to come before him with that clear heart, clean heart, clear mind, that we come before him with praise and thanksgiving. So a few insteads that the enemy could place in our minds concerning prayer. I'll move along here. So instead of being honest, do we present only our own perspective? How about instead of being humble, do we resort to insistence? Or instead of being blessed with the outcome, do we tie our joy to getting our own way? Or instead of being hopeful that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called for his purpose out of Romans 8:28, or do we believe our way is the only way? I had lost the perspective and the humility and the irreverence in my personal prayer time. But praise the Lord, he brought me back. Last letter, request. It's a state of being sought after to ask as a favor or a privilege. Hebrews 4:16 tells us, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I believe there's approximately 523 verses in the Bible pertaining to prayer. There's probably more. How important is it? But remember, the Lord revealed to us that when coming before him, we need honesty, transparency, trust in requesting his intervention. Paul tells us in Philippians 4:6 to let our requests be made known to God. But Jesus in Matthew 26 and verse 39 tells us how to end our prayers. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will, God. So, let me close. I may make it. I may not need that pizza, Jimmy. Let me close with a few more words. Are you familiar with these phrases? I know a guy. I got a guy. Familiar, isn't it? It's a hot saying nowadays. So all the time that the Lord was pouring out his provision for our home, we heard these two sayings a lot with the workers that were there working on our home. As the work continued, the Lord reminded me that I didn't need a guy. I have a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He can, he will, and he did supply all of my needs. Jesus always knows best, doesn't he? Prayer, we acknowledge our need and our dependence on him, and prayer is the basis of our communicating with him. Power released at your effective request. Not at my effective request, at your effective. Personal involvement in prayer. So important. So I'm just going to run through this one real quick before we go back to Psalm 100. We're going to go back there in a minute. Let me share some words and titles and phrases we have heard in the last five teachings that have been taking place here at FBC. Words we've heard: united, quietness, reflection, clean heart, clean hands, clear mind, praise, thanksgiving, honesty, transparency, trust, and request. The titles we've heard used: King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Holy Spirit, Father, Jesus. Folks, I believe there's something happening here. The Lord is making it clear. I believe the Lord is making it very clear. How is our prayer life? How is our personal prayer life? How is our unified prayer life? As FBC moves forward, we're being called, first and foremost, we pray for the Lord's leadership here at FBC. We should be praying for Terry's mission trips, that God breaks down the strongholds that may prevent him from going to any country. I can go on and on. I don't want to go on and on because we got to close this out. But men serving in the pulpit, we should be praying for. Elders now serving and the ones that are going to be called to serve. We are searching for new elders to step forward. We should be praying that the Lord leads the right men to step into this leadership. It's a very important ministry. And then we talked about it earlier. Individual involvement. How can I serve here at FBC? So let's go back to Psalm 100 here for a second. Hopefully you've been pondering this psalm as I've been up here speaking. But in this psalm, the Lord reminds us who we are, who we call upon, and also reminds us to come with joy and reverence when we come before the Lord. We are reminded in verses 1 through 3 to come with reverence. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is our strength. He is our Creator. We are made in His image. He is our owner. He paid the price on the cross of Calvary for you and I. He paid the price on the cross of Calvary for me to be able to be standing here before you folks today. I don't stand here as a pastor. I don't stand here as someone who really wanted to do this and went and said to Terry, I want to speak, I want to speak. I didn't do that. I stand here because I'm a savior of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I do a lot of pacing, and I eat a lot of Tums before I come up here, probably 2 or 3 weeks prior to coming up here. But anyways, he is our owner. He paid the price on the cross of Calvary. He is our shepherd. He leads us and guides us. Oh, how we need him every hour. And then we're reminded to recognize our blessings. Do we shout for joy? I don't do it because I don't want to wake Diane up while I'm in prayer, but we should be shouting joyfully to the Lord. We should be serving him with gladness. We should be serving him with a smile on our faces and joy in our hearts because he is our Lord. He is our Creator. We should come before him with singing. That kind of leaves me out a little bit. Serve him with gladness, come before him with singing, come before him with thanksgiving, and enter into his courts with praise, and be thankful, and to bless his name. Wow, there's no poor me's in here. What about me? It's not about you. It's about your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. God is good. When? All the time. God is good. So thank you, folks, for being here today. And God bless you in your personal prayer time with him. So I've asked the worship team to come now, and they're going to close out with this song. How long has it been?